We are reporting exclusively here at WCCO Radio. The Vikings are 14-2. Does anybody else have it, Dave Arrigan? I don't think they do.
Seen on the internet.
I don't think so. How about this guy, Mr. Purple Insider, Matthew Cullen? If you beat the Packers for a second time, you beat the Packers kind of the same way. You build up a big lead, and then you're hanging out for dear life. If you're staring at the number one seed, you know what you do the Monday after the game? You start the show with Collar. You start the show with Purple Insider. Football. Matthew Collar, it is 27-25. There's 2 minutes and 13 seconds left in the clock. And I tweeted out what everybody was thinking. How aggressive is Kevin O'Connell going to be? How aggressive is he going to be? Because the old style of thinking, which you love, you're not a modern guy like Arrigan and I. You kind of think like in the 50s, you would have run the ball three times and punted. And you wrote about it today, purpleinsider.football. I read the story today. O'Connell's trust in Darnold pays off again versus Packers because that's what he did. He trusted Darnold to make good decisions. One of those decisions involved maybe his worst pass of the year, but Akers caught it. Just talk about that part of the game and that relationship and the trust that Darnold has built up.
Yeah, I think if you were trying to distill the Kevin O'Connell Coach of the Year conversation down into one drive, I mean, there's a lot of them that might qualify this year, but every single one of them involves him trusting Sam Darnold. I mean, even think about all the way back to week one, the Vikings have a fourth down inside the 10-yard line or something against the Giants. Could have kicked a field goal, could have taken the points, and he's like, no, I'm going to throw the ball. Yep. Into the end zone with Sam Darnold and Justin Jefferson to get the touchdown. And the number of times that they've done that, how about, what was it, week two, 97-yard touchdown pass. You don't get that unless you throw the ball from the 3-yard line and try to throw a bomb. He has leaned into Sam Darnold's arm, his talent, and then what he's really come to trust is his decision-making. And there was one bad throw last night that resulted in an interception, but the accumulation of that entire game is a lot of really smart and great decisions by Sam Darnold. And I think that's where he's grown the most throughout this season is that he is protecting the football, but he's also throwing to the right places. They're executing not just deep shots like they were earlier this year, but also the underneath and short stuff. And why not in that moment trust Sam Darnold to roll to the outside, use his athleticism, and make a couple of plays there. And I think that, you're right that the throw to Akers wasn't good.
No.
But the throw to Jefferson to get them 9 yards there to set up that's high level. That's fantastic. We just saw Sam Darnold put on one of those type of shows that, Vikings fans will remember for a really, really long time. And that doesn't happen if you have a coach who's trying to play it safe and just survive and play defense. That's been Kevin O'Connell's mantra from day one. I'm going to lean into Darnold. I'm going to be aggressive. And that's why they're here at 14-2.
You nailed it. We've talked about it. I've talked about Chip a lot, too, where there were just so many moments during the season. And sometimes they all didn't work. But he set this as a part of who they were going to be, that I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And even on the interception, Matthew, you can absolutely make the argument, you've got that big lead, why you're trying to squeeze into small spots. That's what they've done all year. And Darnold is oozing confidence right now. So he tried small spot. I've been doing it all year. He gets the pressure. The throw is a little short, and it starts the comeback. And again, if they lose, we're going to look back and shake our heads on that, and it's a fair discussion point. But to me, Matt, that's a continuation of this conversation that Darnold, O'Connell, and O'Connell's belief in other players on both sides of the ball, be aggressive. I'm going to trust your skills and your intellect. I know it's not going to work every time, but in the long run, it's going to work out significantly more than it doesn't. And even though it didn't work there, I think that's just another example of how he's coached this team.
Yeah, there's certainly times throughout the season, maybe one of them goes back to the Jets when he threw an interception on 3rd and 18 or something, and he's pushing it down the field, where I think that Kevin O'Connell maybe needs to rein it in a little bit with this approach. I mean, this is kind of like if you have in baseball, if you have a home run hitter, but you kind of just need them to get a sacrifice fly and not strike out, and sometimes they strike out. But in the long run, over a full season, having the home run hitter is so much better than having the guy who hits singles and bunts guys over from first to second.
Yep.
Just worth so much more. So every time one of those mistakes happen, we can always say, oh, well, look at that. That almost blew it. But we forget about the five, six other times in a game where they were aggressive and it ended up working out. And O'Connell has leaned into this almost comically at times. Sam Darnold against the Seahawks gets banged up the next play. I don't care if you got hurt. You're running a play action where you got to drop back and step up. I mean, he has just continued to swing as hard as he can for the fences. And why not? I mean, this is a super, super gifted quarterback with incredible receivers. Even Jalen Naylor stepping up big for them. They've got all the talent in the world to put up these big numbers and big yards like Darnold did, and it just seems like his confidence keeps growing and growing with every one of these games. So why not treat him like he's Joe Burrow, like he's Josh Allen, like he's Lamar Jackson? All those teams lean into their quarterback the same way.
Yep.
That's the level that he's playing right now, so they should do the same thing.
This is Matthew Collar. He runs Purple Insider. You can check it out online, purpleinsider.football. Great analysis right after the game. Great stories today. Podcasts throughout the week. Interviews throughout the week. And a lot of stuff coming up with the Lions looming. We'll talk Lions, and we'll also talk the reaction that Darnold received after he participated in multiple interviews. And if someone's going to convince me that he's not on this team next year, good luck to you. Because he's going to be on this team next year, in my view. It's 17 past 12 on CCO. Continuing the dialogue with our guy Matthew Collar from Purple Insider. We've all watched the videos now. Darnold sits down with, or does a, if we want to be precise, standing interview with Tom Rinaldi. Then he talks to Tom Brady. And then they greet him in the locker room as a conquering hero. They love the guy. They're lifting him up. You're honestly telling me this guy isn't going to be the starting quarterback next year? Can we just end that debate right now, Matthew Collar, at 12-21? They're 14-2. He's 27. You're right. He's playing like a top five or six quarterback. They still like J.J. Most likely they would keep J.J. for a couple of years. I might even get riskier and see what I could get for a first-round draft choice. But he's going to be their starting quarterback next year, right?
Yeah. I mean, they've just gone way too far to not have that be the case.
Correct.
I mean, what the thing is that throughout NFL history, there's all sorts of instances of teams thinking they had their quarterback and then being like, oh, I guess it's this other guy. I mean, the 49ers are a good recent example of this with Brock Purdy, that they drafted Trey Lance and they go to the Super Bowl with Brock Purdy. And I mean, even if you go back, there's been times throughout history where top draft pick quarterbacks didn't become great until they were in their late or mid 20s, or even Steve Young didn't become an elite quarterback till he was 30 years old. You know, Drew Brees needed time and the right situation. And sometimes I think it's funny when we talk about, like, well, you know, he's got all the receivers and stuff. It's like, I find me an elite quarterback who doesn't. Maybe Josh Allen, I guess.
It.
But I mean,
rare.
All time. But if that quarterback is maximizing those receivers the way that Sam Darnold is, then you don't move on. And I know that everybody's a capologist now.
Yeah.
But I think that what maybe you don't realize is that everything that they have is staying, and that they've been dealing with $70 million of dead cap this year. They
this
did
year.
This with
yes.
all that dead cap space. So also look around. All the teams in the playoffs, except for Washington, all have quarterbacks who have been paid. So I don't think that it's some sort of impossible thing to work around. But this is franchise quarterback behavior. I think the quarterback he reminds me the most of this year is actually Andrew Luck. The way he's handled himself, the way he handles the media, the way he throws downfield, the way he makes plays. It is a top draft pick quarterback coming into his own. We saw this from Alex Smith. Remember how bad he was, how bad the coaching was with Mike Singletary, and then Jim Harbaugh comes in. He takes them to the NFC Championship. So it's not the first time we've ever seen it happen, and it won't be the last. And I think people do have to wrap their minds around, he really is this good. There isn't some other shoe that's about to drop, not somebody with this talent and this approach to the game.
Okay, 26-9. That's Kevin O'Connell about to finish his third season in one score games. If they beat Detroit in a one score game, and none of that would shock us, he then becomes the all-time leader for winning percentage in one score games in the history of the league. I get some numbers are fickle. The number isn't large enough. There's going to be a reaching to the mean if you play enough. This is 35 games. There has to be something a little different where he deserves this type of credit when you're 26-9. That is a stunning record in 8 points or less.
Yeah, I think that those stats can be very funny because, like, I'll give you two examples. The Arizona game, the Vikings were not the better team. They got outplayed that day.
I agree with you.
And then pulled it out of their hat at the end, and Kyler Murray gave them an interception. They kind of lucked out. Yesterday, would anyone watch that football game and argue the Green Bay Packers were better? No. The Vikings, through the second quarter, had a 99% chance to win that game. And that's really kind of the nature of the beast in the NFL, which I think is why we get all these one-score games, is that protecting leads is really difficult because you have quarterbacks like Jordan Love who can make plays and have big arms and can bring a team back like he did. And a lot of the Vikings' one-score wins are just like that, even this year. So you could say, okay, in the long run, with all teams, all history, those games come out 50-50. But when the Vikings are outplaying people and then they're coming back at the end when they really didn't have any chance to actually win, I don't look at that as the same as a one-score game. So I think that's been a lot of them through O'Connell's history, but I also think it's kind of what we talked about in the last segment, is that if you keep the gas pedal down, a lot of times that's going to work out better than if you try to play it super safe and then ultimately end up giving up leads. And we've seen it from Dan Campbell as well, sometimes to a comical degree from Dan Campbell. But look at the results. Look at the overall. Yep. I mean, it's just, I'm sure when Steph Curry first started shooting threes from almost half court, I'm sure someone went, well, there's no way he could keep doing this.
Yeah, right.
And then he did, because sometimes breaking the game works. So I think that they've done that a little bit, and that's part of the reason. I also think that he had a clock mismanagement yesterday at halftime. Mm. How many of those has he had, though? That
Rare.
Was a weekly thing, very weekly thing with Mike Zimmer.
Yes.
I think he's actually been quite good when it comes to managing the timeouts, the late-game situations, and there's another thing here, too. His quarterbacks are pretty damn confident at the end of games, and who does that come back to? I think Kevin O'Connell.
Let's finish with next Sunday night. Now, Campbell claimed all week he was going to play his main guys tonight against San Francisco in a totally meaningless game. He probably will, because that's just who he is. It's just the impact of this game. We got it. You go from a number one seed to the number five. You could be staring maybe at the Rams. You could be staring at the Buccaneers. Just analyze how vitally important it is for this team to win Sunday night. Or is Matthew Collar from Purple Insider going to tell me, you know what, it's important, but it might not be as important as some people are telling us?
Oh, no, it's pretty dang important. I mean, you're talking about getting to stay home for a week and never have to leave U.S. Bank Stadium with this team, with this defense, with that stadium. Oh, yeah, that is a massive, massive advantage versus having to go on the road. I mean, the Eagles they went on the road to Tampa Bay last year and lost because that's a good team in Tampa Bay. It's a good team in Los Angeles. They already lost there this year. You don't want to do that. So it is enormous. You know what this actually screams to me is eventual rule change. You know how the Vikings are always involved in the rule changes? Either way, this is going to happen. A 14-3 team, whether it's the Vikings or Lions, is going to have to go on the road and play a team that barely got into the playoffs. I mean, this hasn't made sense in a long time, and maybe Roger Goodell will wake up after this. But if they go on the road, though, we have seen this team perform on the road. They've beaten teams. They've gotten clutch performances. They're better than the Rams. They're better than the Bucks. But the margins are so, so thin. I mean, you're really just sitting there hoping, if you're Kevin O'Connell, that you can find a way to win in Detroit. And I think that the matchup, though, mid-season was Detroit, I think, was the better team. But right now, I think it is very even between these two teams. Yep. And small factor, if Campbell does go full man Campbell and plays all of his starters the whole game, they have less rest. I mean, it's a Monday night.
Right.
They got to travel back. I mean, it's going to be a little harder on Detroit. So the door is certainly open for the Vikings to punch it through, get 15, and we can talk while I'm sitting at home next week with them.
We'll actually talk to you Friday. I mean, the game means so much. It's a double shot of collar.
Whoa.
And we'll triple your pay because of it. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm just going to leave that one. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Matthew Collar.